This is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Hello! Hello, good evening. Welcome to summer. Oh, doesn't it feel fantastic? 906, live and direct from Toronto in Canada. It's an Englishman on the radio. Immigrants taking our jobs. I want to introduce myself. I do it every week. I feel as if I should because I feel I stand out somewhat. Hopefully in a good way. I don't know. My name is Vinny White, and I've been in this country for 7 years, and I've been on this radio station for about 7 weeks. And I have a show here from 9 through till 10 every Sunday. And you are invited. Well, I mean, you're already here, so just as well you are, really. But you're invited to spend the entire hour sitting around doing whatever you wish. And if you want to get involved, you can do that. I'm really excited about this week's show, because there's a lot going on. Coming up, those people that stop you in the street holding clipboards that ask for money for charities that you used to respect. Toronto misconnection, as always. We trawl Craigslist for a misconnection that puts a smirk on our little faces. The best internet dating profile ever was sent to me this week. I've got to do that. And I've got an interview with a ex-convict in the studio, female ex-convict called Joy, who I will tell you more about later. Well, she'll probably tell you more about her later. She's turned her life around and is helping others. How did she do it? What's her story? And what is prison like in the United States of America? These are the questions. It's a diverse show for a diverse and cosmopolitan city. One that has come alive over the last couple of days. It's honestly, it's like living in two different cities here, isn't it? There's the winter one, which, if it was a sound, would sound like this. And there's the summer one, which, if there was a sound, it would sound like this. Yay! Woohoo! I'm naked. That's how I interpret Toronto. Two different cities, and we've just walked into the correct one, the one that is full of fun. I love it. It's alive and well, and we love it. Do you want to get involved? 416-872-1010. Star Talk 8255 on the, what's it? On the, you know, the thing. I don't know. Star Talk 8255 on a device. And 71010 on the text. And that does work. I checked it on the way here. I was texting pay. 71010 on the text. So get your phone out and give us a shout. Also, there's other ways of getting hold of me. I'm Vinny White on Facebook and Twitter. And just to confuse you and to make this intro far too long, the spelling is V-I-N-N-E-Y. And as I say every week, I'm not from Italy and I'm not a car mechanic. All right, good. So, where should we start? Oh, my word. Should we finish here? I feel like we've done a few minutes. There's a caller already. Well, I suppose we'll stick a caller on before we get into the meat on the bone. Who's this? Hello, Veronica.
I think you're amazing. I enjoy you so much, and I would like to see more of you, make 2 or 3 hours every day.
Well, thank you very much.
You're just a sweetheart. I love, from the minute I first started listening to you, I just think you're funny, and really, just you're the highlight of my day, seriously.
Oh, well, that's absolutely wonderful, Veronica, and I thank you dearly. Stay with
us
over the next...
Thank you so much for them having the intelligence at the radio station to actually pick you. No, I know you're laughing, but yeah. Seriously, you're the real deal.
Yeah.
God bless. Bye.
See you later. Hit and run compliment. Fantastic. Love that. What a way to start a show. Great. She called in before I'd given out the number. Keen. If all the listeners are like that, would be fine. If you don't like the show, do keep it to yourself. All right, coming up, as I said, loads of stuff. Let's start, though, with Friday. Friday night, I went out because I can. I'm a young man, and apparently I'm reasonably intelligent, as the last caller said, and I made an executive decision to venture out into the summer air to go to the Horseshoe Tavern. The Horseshoe Tavern, if you don't know, by the way, is very much a staple of Toronto. It's been around for many years and is a fantastic home for live music, where I went to go and see the Elasto Citizens, a great band I encourage you to watch. And it was good. But I'm very interested in what happened on the patio, particularly, being that I like the occasional cigar, because I think it makes me look cool, and it doesn't. It's not big, and it's not clever. But yeah, I like the occasional cigar, because I just like chilling back with a beer and a cigar. Now, as we know, in more recent years, it's harder and harder to smoke anywhere. And you know what? We could start a whole debate about that. Can't be bothered. The fact is, you can smoke there. Brilliant. So I went out for a cigar. Now, it was at this point that the bouncer came over and said, and I quote this, "Please enjoy sitting whilst on the Horseshoe Patio." And I said, thanks, that's very, very kind of you. And continue to stand up because I can, as an informed adult, make a decision about whether I want to sit down or stand up at any point in my life. And so he came over again. He goes, as I said, please enjoy sitting whilst on the horseshoe patio. So I'm like, I'm fine. But I really do appreciate that you've offered twice. I can see there's a seat and I'm just quite happy standing up, smoking my cigar. Thanks. And he said, I'm going to have to insist, for licensing purposes, that you sit down whilst on the horseshoe patio. And he did actually say that as if he was some sort of voiceover man. I really am going to have to insist that you sit down while on the horseshoe patio. So I'm like, well, I don't really want to. So he goes on to explain that for licensing purposes, you have to sit down at all times when you're at the horseshoe patio. And apparently this is actually quite normal. I didn't know this because I'm new to this city and I get confused by things. And I'm quite simple. And so, yeah, I was thinking, you know, I guess I better sit down. Didn't want to cause a kerfuffle. So I sit down and he explains in great boring and patronising detail that if I hadn't have sat down, then he would have been responsible. And the licence means that they can only seat 16 people in. And if anyone stands up at any point, then they're disobeying some stupid conduct that's filed away in a stupid cabinet somewhere in a stupid drawer in a stupid office of a stupid government employee. And I don't care because I'm far too busy having a good time to listen to him. So I sat down and got on with my life. Now, there is a sort of anarchic part of me that wanted to stand up. Well, in fact, every part of me wanted to stand up, but there was a particular anarchic part of me that wanted to stand up. Now, it was at this point a large Texan with a Hawaiian shirt rebelled, and he was in a similar position. He'd been given the, please enjoy sitting whilst on the horseshoe patio speech a few times, and he was like, I don't want it, buddy. I want to stand up right here. Excuse me for my terrible accent, by the way. This is as good as it's going to get. You'll notice my Texan is the same as my Canadian. Both appalling. I don't want to sit down, he said. And then the bouncer says, please enjoy sitting whilst on the horseshoe. Honestly, it was a broken record. I can't believe his job is that. It's ridiculous. And the large Texan says, I'm not going to sit down. So now I'm thinking, yeah, power to the people, man. I haven't got the guts to do it, but I'm glad you're rebelling. And the large Texan man in a Hawaiian shirt refuses, he absolutely refuses to sit down because he thinks it's a stupid law. Now, in his defense, it is a stupid law. Why should you have to sit down at a patio? Whatever. Anyway, all this, by the way, this US guy, it was in Canada 200 years after we kicked them out of the nearby Fort York. And here he is rebelling. Oh, they never. Good evening, United States. Anyway, so he gets a bit upset, this, let's say larger guy. I think that's the political correct way of putting it. And put it this way, his shirt was an XXL. And he gets up and he says, well, so he gets up, he was up. He says, I refuse to sit down. I'm not sitting down no matter what I do. You can't force me to do anything. I will not sit down. So the guy says, well, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. So this Texan gets thrown out, right? Now, at most points, we'd all think, you know, he probably went about the rest of his night. No, there was a vendetta set up, and the Texan would not have it. So he decided that he'd get his own back, and he went to a nearby hot dog stand. And he was all the way, he was walking off, he was saying very offensive things to this bouncer, saying, I can't believe you kicked me out for this, you complete hole, etc. So he gets, comedically, he queues up for quite a long time at the nearby outdoor hot dog stand. And it was at this point I was thinking, I don't think he's going to let this go because he was shouting and shouting at the bouncer. The bouncer was now ignoring him and had gone on to other people. Please enjoy sitting whilst on the horseshoe patio. So the large Texan man decides, and this is one of the most comedic things I've seen in Toronto since I moved here, decides that he was going to throw a sausage at the bouncer. He threw his sausage. Now, I learned that night there's a good reason that missiles are cylindrical. It flew with grace and dynamic beauty. A sausage really does move. And it hit the bouncer. Now, I don't know if I've ever laughed quite as hard as seeing a bouncer that his entire life was already crumbling around because a lack of authority had meant that he looked stupid. But if you want to make someone look stupid, there is nothing more hilarious than getting a sausage land literally on their shoulder and stay there. Absolute comedy gold. You haven't had a good night out until you see a bouncer let out an F-bomb as a result of a stray sausage fired from an angry fat American. I think it was the best night of my life. And, you know, to be honest, it was quite surprising that the gentleman that I aforementioned was prepared to let a sausage go because he'd retained sausages in the past. It was fantastic. Whenever I'm upset, I just think of it. It's brilliant. Oh, there's poverty in the world. Think of the flying sausage. You'll be fine. So there you go. That was the Horseshoe Tavern on Friday night. All right, how many breaks have we got to take? Have we got to go to one already? I can keep talking. All right, great. I want to talk about chuggers. This is something that happened to me today. Chuggers, if you haven't heard of them, it's the British term, which I'd like to spread around here. The term chugger refers to charity mugger. These are the people that walk up to you. I don't know where they are in the winter. I presume they're, you know, savvy enough to not come out in the cold. But they're everywhere today. And a chugger, a charity mugger, came up to me in the street today. Chugger, charity mugger, or I like to call them charsholes. Anyway, they come up to me in the street and they said, you know, the usual things. Can you help? I don't really want to promote the charity or de-promote, condone, condemn. I don't want to do either. I just want to say that it was a charity, which actually is quite a respectful charity. But you know what annoys me about these chuggers is that they make you feel guilty. I've spent the entire few months freezing my boobs off in this city, and now I can walk about with freedom, and the first thing that happens to me when I go out today is a chugger comes up to me, pins me to the... not literally. Pins me to the wall and starts asking me for my money. Oh, think about the poor, the starving. Yeah, you know what? Can I have a few minutes to myself? And I think we should come through this. And we're all pretty savvy now. We all know when they're coming. You can see the shoppers parting like Moses has parted the Red Sea when the chuggers come out. They do attack the weak. It's probably why they got me. You know, the fresh-faced teenagers that still believe that the world is a wonderful place and haven't been soiled with the naivety of a shocking reality that it's quite sad. They always get them. Heavily pregnant women. Mother with a pushchair, you know, old people, they always go for them, and apparently me. And if you don't pay them in, you know, there and then, or sign up to some banking system where you have to pay them, you often feel guilty. And I've decided, no, I won't take it anymore, and nor should you. If you start feeling guilty, we have to revolt, we have to rebel. Never. Don't let them get hold of you. Margaret in Ajax, good evening.
Good evening.
Hello. Have you just run up the stairs?
No, I just came out of the bathroom.
Oh, that's nice. Did you have time to put any clothes on, Margaret?
No, I'm in my pyjamas.
You built me up and then you knocked me down. Margaret, can I ask you, I don't know why you phoned, but I would like to ask you, do you ever get approached by the chuggers?
Pardon?
Yeah. Do you ever get approached by people, charity muggers, people that...
Oh, no.
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 I don't
come downtown very often, so...
Well, very wise. It's a jungle in here.
Yeah, I know.
What can I do for you tonight, darling?
Well, I just wanted to tell you I enjoy your show and your accent. You're the first Englishman that I've enjoyed on CFRB since Ray Sonnen, which was many, 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 many years ago. And
must have been, because my producer looked at me blankly. How many years ago was that?
Oh, it's got to be in the 60s and 70s.
Okay, yeah, that's a little bit before my time.
Yeah.
Well, that's very kind of you to say so. I'm glad that the burning baton of Britishness has been passed on to the appropriate candidate.
Well, my husband came from England, and I was there twice. And saw the Queen and whatever.
You should work for the tourist board. Come to England, see the Queen and whatever.
It was fun. I would wish they would put your show on for 2 hours instead of just one.
Well, I'm getting some lovely compliments. Thank you, Margaret. That's very kind of you.
Okay, and you take care and have a good time in Canada.
Oh, thanks, darling.
Okay.
How lovely was she? It just keeps happening. What a lovely audience. If you want to, you don't have to call up and give compliments. I promise we're not filtering these. You can be nasty if you want, but it just seems that everyone's being very nice. 416-872-1010 if you want to call in. Star Talk 8255 on the cell, 71010 on the text. When we come back, I'm going to be talking live in the studio to an ex-convict that has a fantastic and I think really interesting story to tell. It really is phenomenal. Also, if we get time, I really hope we do, we're going to talk about the best internet dating profile ever. We're going to have a look at our usual weekly misconnection. There's so much, I just can't even begin to ram it all in. Stay locked.
You're tuned in to The Vinny White Show. on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Yes, welcome back. My name is Vinny White. I'm here with you every Sunday from 9 through to 10 here on News Talk 1010, arguably the best radio station in the world. I'd say so, but I'm a little biased. If you want to get involved, Star Talk 8255 71010 on the text. Text your questions to our lovely Joy. Now, I think really, this is... I'm going to introduce you, if I may, as a friend. I think I can do that, can't I?
You can, but are you going to call me an ex-con again?
Yes, I am going to... All my friends are ex-cons. I come from a very shady background. It's called Britain. We usually ship the most to Australia, but there you go. So, yes, I am going to, if that's all right.
That's fine. I am an ex-con, so it's okay if you call me that.
Yes.
There's no problem.
It is the official term. It does sound a little bit...
It's harsh.
Yeah, doesn't it?
I don't feel like an ex-con, but I am.
I think of you as a friend, and then I think of you as an ex-con, if that makes it any better. All right, so let's talk about your life. And what I really want to do is talk about some of the things that you've been through, but also the icing on the cake that is where you are now.
Okay.
So I guess we'll start at the very beginning, and we'll start, if I may, where we met. Now, as well as this job, I train people to use Adobe software. And you came to me because you wanted to learn, what was it, Illustrator or Photoshop?
It was Photoshop and Illustrator.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you did a course with me for 4 days. And when you're teaching people things, obviously you take coffee breaks and chat about their life and what they're doing here and what they want to do. And I just found you absolutely fascinating. And from there, we began our friendship. And I've always wanted to get you on the radio because I think your story is really interesting.
Thank you.
And so I suppose really what really grabbed me was the fact that you were doing this course because you wanted to better your skills to become a graphic designer. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes.
And I said, well, why on earth do you want to do that? And you said, well, I've had a bit of a rough past.
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit about your past and particularly your experiences in the States. Let's start at the beginning.
Okay. Well, I'm going to sum up maybe like the early years because that would take like 5 hours.
Sure. Okay.
But basically I lived a fast life in my past when I was younger and I didn't have the moral scruples and guidance that one would need when facing certain temptations. And I lost a full basketball scholarship to a teenage pregnancy when I was 18. Mm. And I had a baby young.
Mm. And were you living in Toronto at the time?
Yes, I was.
Are you a Torontonian?
Yes, I am.
I see. One of the, I think it's 51% of Torontonians that were born in Toronto. So
yes.
A fairly rare thing. So
yes.
Not a great background in that sense, but a lot of people have babies young and go on to to become an integral family life. What happened after the birth of your child?
Well, I was suffering from many different things, including poverty, self-esteem issues, and the way I would validate myself was I was always gravitating towards a negative crowd.
Mm.
And that was my way of feeling good about myself.
Yeah.
So one thing led to the next and I got involved in many different negative things.
Mm.
And then, well, actually, to make a long story short, I started the program that I'm doing now, which is my own outreach program called The Joy Ride, after my name, named after my name.
Mm.
Basically, that was started in 2010.
Her name's Joy, by the way, not The Joy Ride. That would be weird. Cruel parents.
Exactly. So basically, it was started in 2010 because I decided to change my life. I lost my mother to cancer in 2006.
Mm.
I started this program in 2010 because I was just suffering from depression. I felt like nobody understood me. So my way of dealing with it was just basically starting a video, a vlog. So I would talk about my life, my past, and I started doing a lot of outreach.
Yeah.
I started having a lot of clothing drives for the homeless downtown and stuff of that sort. And then the craziest part is a year after I started the Joyride in 2011.
Yeah.
My past caught up with me.
So just to establish, when you say you're working to help others in homeless issues, dealing with people with poverty issues, she had a whole program, which we won't get into the guts of, but a really wonderful program that was passionate and cared about the residents that were at risk here in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
But you weren't, obviously, I'm going to go ahead and ask you, at that time, were you involved in any crime?
I wasn't at that time.
So,
that's the thing. I had already changed my life before the big, huge thing happened
sure.
in my life.
So you were in crime. Was it sort of minor misdemeanors, drug use, that type of thing? Or
in the past, I was involved in many different things, fraud, drugs, just a whole, on the whole scale, pretty much I lived a fast life, period.
Fast life.
I can't even sum it up in one conversation. So, basically after I started the Joyride in 2011, September, I got picked up on a huge federal investigation in the U.S. And I got picked up here in Toronto on an extradition warrant.
So at this point, how old is your, well, how old is your child at this point?
He was 15 at the time.
So that would make you how old?
At the time, sorry. Do I have to reveal my age?
Oh, no, you don't. No.
Okay, it's okay.
You can give me a decade. Was it 20s or 30s?
30s.
Okay, 30s.
30s.
So here you are, you're in your 30s, you've got a child, you're not only looking after your own child, you've been through a difficult past, but you're now in a situation where you're helping other residents, other people that are at risk, other
right.
people that were a bit like you.
Right.
And everything's cool, you're not involved in crime, things are going pretty well, you've turned over a new leaf. What was this crime that caught up with you? Without going into immense detail, how is it possible for a crime that you committed so long before to suddenly catch up with you then?
It was a huge fraud case that backdated to 2004, 2005. Mm. So this was even before my mother had passed away. And it was just something I was involved in with a bunch of negative individuals. Mm. And there was somebody who they were looking for mm. that was at large. And I was one of the people that they picked up. That was involved in this huge case.
And why was it a federal case for the United States and not Canada then?
It was a crime that happened over there.
Okay.
Right? I wasn't physically there. I don't want to get into too much details because there's still an ongoing investigation for this huge case because there's many co-accused, many co-defendants.
Okay.
So my particular part of it is over with. But
I think I can round it up without revealing anything too much. Let's say this. You were involved years before
right.
in a crime that many other people were involved in.
Right.
You were absolutely not a kingpin.
No.
It didn't involve drugs, but it did involve defrauding some monies
yes.
from some people.
Yes.
It had more relevance in the United States, so therefore you were tried federally within the United States.
Within the United States, but I was picked up here on an extradition warrant.
Got it.
So I was caught completely off guard
so
when
this
it did
must
happen.
Be remarkably shocking for you.
It was, absolutely.
Getting on with your life, probably forgotten about the crime, hadn't you, really?
Absolutely. When I first got picked up for it, I didn't even know what I was being arrested for.
Yeah.
And I literally had to, like, just
yeah.
get a hold of myself.
And where right? were you at the time of the pickup?
I was actually driving my son to school.
So you're thinking, oh, no, it must yeah. be that the fact that I forgot to indicate. Oh, no.
I thought I was getting pulled over for a traffic violation.
And what did they say?
Well, they basically explained a little bit, but they didn't even know the full details of everything because it was a crime that happened in the United States.
Right.
So I got picked up and they took me straight to the courthouse downtown, which was University Avenue.
What happened to the child in the car at the time?
My son was 15, so my father came and picked him up.
Okay.
So they were able to call my father, call family, and they grabbed him.
All right. Tell me more.
From there, I went to the courthouse downtown. I basically asked what my charges were. They gave me my disclosure, my discovery, and then I realized what it was from my past.
Mm. So here you are in a situation where presumably you're a bit afraid. You're certainly surprised.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean? What happened to you next?
Well, then I was basically, they brought me to Vanier, which is a correctional facility in Milton for women, and I was in jail. And I was up for bail. I had to find I couldn't even find a regular lawyer. I had to find an extradition lawyer because a regular criminal defense lawyer couldn't take the case because we're in Canada and it was an extradition case. So I had to have a specific extradition lawyer.
And did it work? Did the extradition lawyer make sure that you weren't extradited?
That is pretty much, if you're on an extradition case, you're going. Unless you're on death row or suffering from a deadly disease, you have to go face your charges in the U.S.
Could you not say you had a heavy cold?
No.
Could you say?
Unfortunately not.
Could you say that you've got to take your son to basketball practice?
No.
You've got to think outside the box.
I know, but unfortunately I was involved in this crime back then. So
could you not say, it wasn't me, Gav, you've got the wrong girl, I'm off, see you later.
I mean, that crossed my mind, but I knew in my heart I had done what I did years ago, so
yeah.
I swallowed it up, and I was in Vanier for a month.
Mm.
It was insane, because I've never been in jail before,
mm.
and it was just a rude awakening.
I bet it was.
It was.
So
definitely.
From Vanier, a Canadian jail, under in the, worrying about being extradited to the United States, what happened next?
My father got the extradition lawyer. I was in and out of court, and my lawyer basically said, by the way, my lawyer was Joseph DeLuca and Gavin McKenzie. They're amazing lawyers. They're from downtown Toronto. He basically told me how extradition works because I didn't even know what extradition was.
Yeah.
And he said basically that you have to face your charges. So
in the United States?
In the United States. So
where the crime it was committed, I suppose.
I guess,
it's
yeah,
difficult
you can
say
that.
Say, yeah.
It's a pretty big...
All
complicated
right.
case.
Fair enough.
But yeah, so basically I got out on bail for 6 months and I had between September 2011 and March 2012 in which I was out and I was just getting myself together, getting prepared to go to the U.S.
Yeah.
to face my charges.
And I know I sound like a broken record, but I'm so enthralled. And then what? What happened next?
Well, basically,
I'm not laughing at your misfortune.
No, it's okay. No worries.
Are you still on death row now, or
not at all? Okay, I would. It wasn't even like that. I promise. Yeah. But no, basically, after 6 months being on bail here, I had to go back to court. And once I was at court, I went back to Vanier for 2 weeks, and the U.S. Marshals came and got me here, and they brought me to the U.S.
And whereabouts in the U.S.?
I was in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And two different worlds, the jail here and the jail there, jails there, because I was in two different jails there.
Yeah.
Completely different worlds.
And I'm going to guess that that's not in a good way.
Not at all. Like, yeah. We are treated so amazing here in Canada. Not that, you know, I'm glorifying the fact that jail, you know, should be some great place, but
yeah.
Just the differences between the jail here and the jails in the States are completely different.
There are some that argue that jail in the United States is more of a business than anything else. What would you say about that?
I mean, I have my opinions on that, because just the commissary alone is a huge commissary. Canteen is basically the items that you would buy if you're incarcerated. It's a huge business. Like down there, I'm just going to give you an example. Here at Vanier, we're provided with hygiene products. We're provided with undergarments. We're provided with socks, that sort of stuff. But when you get down there, you have to buy everything. You have nothing.
And how much is a pair of socks if you're in American
prison? I think it was about $2.75 for one pair. And it's the same just cheap white socks that you would buy at, like, say, the dollar store or something.
That's the thing that really intrigued me, is that these prices are hyperinflated in American jails.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How much of, I don't know, female hygiene products?
You would buy a bottle of body wash for like maybe $10. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not encouraging hygiene, is it, really?
No, it's hard. Luckily for me, I had family support, so I was able to get all the necessities. But the first week I was down there was a rough road, because I was basically had no, when you're in the classification area, I basically had maybe one shower in 5 days, not to be disgusting. Sorry to all the listeners, but it's just very different there. You're on 23-hour lockdown. That's a regular thing because it's so overpopulated and overcrowded. The regular classification and regular block for females is you're on 23-hour lockdown.
I see. If you just join us, I'm talking to Joy. Joy is a friend and an ex-con, in that order, and I'm very careful about that. And she was picked up here in Canada for a crime that she committed, inverted commas. We can't get too deep into the legal case. Whether she committed it or not, she certainly was involved in it. You've never said that you weren't involved in it, but perhaps your trial wasn't entirely fair, but that's...
No, but I could talk a little bit about my trial. Yeah. I did plead guilty to my charges, and I held myself accountable for my part. And I did ended up doing 7 months altogether.
Yeah.
I
was looking 7 months in American prisons.
One in Canada and the other six in America.
Okay. So tell us a little bit more about life there, because one of the most fascinating things when I was talking to you about this the first time is what people do to... Well, to entertain themselves, apart from anything else. If you're locked down for 23 hours a day, you're obviously a very educated and well-informed person. You must crave stimulation. And how do you get by?
It was pretty tough at first. It's a huge adjustment. You're in a, I don't know the measurements of the cell, but it's a very small cell. You have a cellmate. And
one person, just the one?
Just the one person at first. I was on the regular women's block at first, and then I moved over to the treatment block, in which I had a job as a big sister, but I'll explain that a little bit later. The first 2 months were where I was on the regular block. It was called the jungle, basically.
Mm.
It was just insane. A lot of noise.
Was it because it was beautiful and you felt very free and there were lots of big banana trees?
No, basically because we were caged in. Even outside ourselves, there was a huge cage.
You've got to think positive. I thought it might be that. Yeah, so you're in the jungle, as it's been dubbed, in a state penitentiary in the United States of America. You're in your 30s. You must be worried at this point about the... your son at this stage?
Oh, it was extremely difficult because it was, just to correct you, it was a county jail.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
It wasn't the state. I was looking at federal time,
right.
But it was the county jail, and it happened to be one of America's top three worst rated prisons.
Oh, how marvelous.
Yeah, I ended up, with my luck, I ended up right in one of the worst prisons.
Just what you needed. Perfect.
Exactly. But what was your question?
My question was, how are you so lovely? How could you be so wonderful after all you've been through? It makes me sad. No, my question really is, how do you provide any stimulation of time? What is it that you do if you're locked down for 23 hours a day with just one person? I mean, surely you must want to kill them, don't you?
It was difficult.
Yeah.
What I did to pass my time, I had very supportive friends. Ainsworth Ellis, who is a huge... amazing support system for me and a bunch of other friends. They were always send me mail, always send me things to read.
Mail. Obviously, there's no email in this
no,
world.
No, mail.
Yeah.
And that was a huge thing in jail. And just to get the mail alone just lifted your spirits on a daily basis.
Just knowing that people are thinking about you.
Exactly. The phones for me didn't work work internationally. So I couldn't even call my family for a long time.
Isn't it plus one for Canada, plus one for the US?
No, I don't know. Their jail system is set up completely different in terms of with collect calling. It's just the international calls
didn't
work.
You could, unlike them, you couldn't call. Well, I suppose you could phone people in America, but...
But I didn't really have anyone. I had one cousin who was in Baltimore, which was pretty close, and it was actually $35 per phone call.
Oh, come
per
on.
Per 15 minutes.
Oh, for...
So I called them one time,
There's a massive profit on that. Think of the markup on that.
Yeah, it's huge.
Well, they're not paying that for those calls.
Yeah, they have a whole system set up that you have to even prepay the phone calls before they even happen.
Oh, fantastic.
So,
all right, so times are hard. You're in jail. You're in the United States of America, and you're missing home dearly. You're 23 hours locked down with one person. What was that person like?
She had some issues. There was some mental health issues going on, and she was older. She's been in and out of prison her whole entire life. And it was difficult. I was more of a quiet inmate. I was prepared to go.
And they called you Canada, didn't they?
Yeah, my nickname was Canada. Yeah. The whole jail called me Canada because I was the only one in the entire prison from Canada.
And she was incredibly polite.
I was very polite. They were like, why do you sound like that? You sound weird.
You're like the queen. It's amazing.
But I didn't go in there with an attitude to fight or to territorial, nothing like
that.
You
just wanted to get out.
I just wanted to do my time or do whatever I had to do.
And unlike a lot of the repeat offenders, which unfortunately is extraordinarily common practice in female and male jail, you knew that once you're out, you're not going to go around the corner and get committed. Well, first of all, you're going to get out of the country and go back to Canada where you belong and where your family is. This was just biding your time, I suppose.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But I ended up starting to draw. So that's how the graphics came in.
Aha.
I was on the 23-hour lockdown and I started to draw. And the thing was, when I was younger, I had always wanted to be a graphic designer.
Yeah.
And it just because I took that wrong turn in life with my young son and having him at a young age, I didn't have a chance to do the graphic design thing. So when I was inside, I ended up starting to draw. And I started to draw for the whole entire block. I started to draw greeting cards, pictures, anything they needed. I started to just hand draw it. I would buy all the supplies on the school section of the commissary, and I started to draw for everybody.
What I want you to do now, bearing in mind that you've explained that you used to draw, is tell people the messaging system that you used. Because you might be sitting at home or in your car or wherever you might be thinking, that's wonderful that she used to draw. I wonder how she managed to deliver those notes around the prison. How is that possible? Would you like to explain?
Okay, so Vinny and I have had this conversation before because I'm going to get into what I do. I have a motivational pen pal program now. So one of the questions Vinny had asked me before was, how did you find the pen pals since I came home, remember? So I was telling you how we communicated with the males there because America's completely different. We were not housed in the same cells as the males, but we would, to get to the female section, I had to walk by about 100 male inmates who are in open barred cells. So it was really strange.
And dare I say, they may just have looked at you.
Oh, they were. Oh, you don't even want to know what they were saying.
No, I don't. No.
But
I'm sure they were saying such things as the way that your hair flows down your back. It reminds me of a waterfall.
I don't remember what they say.
Your eyes are deeper than swimming pools. How I long for you and to gracefully hold you. But these bars restrain me from such things. Do they say things like that?
They said some things, but let's not get into that. All I know is it was the walk of shame for me, like for real, because I was in another country. I didn't know anybody. It was the walk of shame.
Yeah.
But I had to walk by these male inmates to go over to the female side.
Yeah.
Once I got to the female side and I was on this first block, I basically was shocked at the way they communicated.
Tell me more.
There was the hole. So for those of you who don't know what the hole is, it's segregation. So when a male inmate gets into trouble or problems, they would put him into segregation. And the hole was located underneath the girls.
Isolated segregation.
Right. Mm. So these guys are on, I believe, 23-hour lockdown as well. Mm. But the difference between the hole and the regular block is they just don't get commissary. But they were underneath us. So the first few nights I'd hear yelling and screaming and I would hear males talking.
Mm.
So
you're thinking that's weird.
What's going on here? So I asked my cellmate who was a lot older than me, and she said they talk through the toilet bowls. So they literally clean out the toilet bowls and communicate with each other, top tier, bottom tier, and then the males underneath, and they call that the phone line.
How does one, dare I ask, how does one clean out the toilet bowl efficiently enough to manage to...
Vinny.
Okay.
It's okay. No, is there a break coming up?
If you're eating, you might want to put your food down.
But no, they have those different ways. No. Some people plunge it.
Yeah.
With their behind.
Okay.
Or they clean it out.
Okay.
With just a cup or something. But the toilet bowl talking wasn't really my thing. But because I was so known in there as Canada and I was this person who did a lot of drawings for everybody, I would have requests through the toilet for drawings.
Yeah.
So
could you physically send mail through the quote phone lines?
No,
could
you wouldn't send mail. Like a lot of the way the inmates communicated was through kites. So it would be like the females would share the gym space with the male, so they would leave kites in the gym.
So that when the men come in, they can find it under, some weights or
something. Yeah, they would just, not even weights, we didn't have that privilege, but they would be like under the floor or in a crack or somewhere. The girls knew how to do it. I wasn't too involved in that stuff. But if there was drawings requested and I had to pass my time, I would draw for some of the males on the other side as well.
Could you ever send, I'm going to have to say this, I know it's a bit gross, but I find it fascinating. Wasn't there someone that once sent a chocolate bar through
yes.
down the hatch, so to speak?
So I heard, yes. Mm.
So this is a woman that had managed to save up, I don't know, $10 billion to buy a bar of chocolate and wrapped it in tinfoil and then sent it down the toilet to the males waiting at the other end.
Yes, I've heard many things.
The thing is, it's really easy to say how stupid that is. If I was a bloke... I am a bloke. Hang on. If I was a guy and I was in prison and I was locked down for 23 hours and someone sent me a chocolate bar through the toilet, you're damn right I'd eat it. Just through boredom. Absolutely, I would.
You're disgusting.
It's been sent by a woman. It was wrapped in metal. I'll have a go on that. Cracking. I wouldn't like it to be a Snickers. Something further away from that would be nice. But, you know...
Oh my goodness, Vinny.
It happens.
I could never picture you in prison. That would never happen.
25 minutes. That's all that lasts. Let's find out more about your fascinating story when we come back in a few minutes.
The Vinny White Show is on In Depth Radio News Talk 1010.
Yes, I'm back. My name is Vinny White. I'm with you from 9 through to 10 every Sunday. It's an absolute joy, a pleasure, an honour, and a bit of a laugh to be here. We do this every week. You never know what's going to come up, and certainly a bit of a surprise this week. A guest in the studio, Joy, has been fantastically open and wonderful in her telling of her life story. She got involved in crime. She went off the rails, I think it could safely be said. She came back on the rails, got on with her life, and then, wouldn't you know it, when she's reformed and helping others, she had to pay for her crime. Whether that's just or not, it's not entirely the issue. The fact of the matter is that she was taken to the States where the crime was kind of committed, and she spent her time 7 months in total in jail. And we were last talking to her about what it was like to be in there. Tell me about what happens in American jails to make your own type of products, because there's only so many things available.
Right.
I presume you can't get hair gel.
Okay, so the hair gel deal... They mixed up because the jail toothpaste was extremely like sticky.
Mm.
If you didn't have the funds to buy it on commissary, it's just this little clear tube. So they would put Jolly Ranchers. They would melt it in hot water and mix the color of the Jolly Rancher into the tube of toothpaste.
Okay.
So that would be the hair gel. So it would look like green. If it was a green Jolly Rancher, it would look green.
Does that mean you could sort of temporarily dye your hair green?
I didn't see it being dyed, but they did use it for hair gel. I didn't personally use it, so I don't know how it works.
No.
But there was just so many different jail things that they used that just blew my mind.
Is there any more that you can tell us about?
I mean, there was just things like they would use just packets of salt, like regular like sodium salt that we use on food. They would use that as face masks, and they would use...
What, to sort of rehydrate the skin? Did it feel good?
I didn't try it.
No. I feel like you weren't very experimental.
I bought Dove soap. I had support. So.
You were definitely the posh girl in that prison.
I don't know what to call it, but I kept to myself and I had the family support, so I was okay. But yeah. I witnessed a lot of things. Or just things like butter for skin lotion.
Ugh.
Yeah, like if it's too dry in there and they don't have the lotion, they would use butter.
Well, you make do with what you get, right?
Right. And then they did a lot of eyebrow threading.
Mm-hmm.
They would do eyebrows and different things.
Some would say, cynical people, not me, but some would say, what's the point in looking good in prison? Because there's not many people there to appreciate
it.
Right,
but self-esteem, right? Even like when women get visits. Yeah. They want to look their best. Yeah. Their kids come, their families come, their husbands come.
Yeah.
So, you know, makeup, they would, lip gloss, great one.
How do you make lip gloss if you're in
there
prison?
Was, like, you know, the little Vaseline intensive care, like lip, I don't know what you call them, the little
chapsticks.
Tubes. Yeah, the tubes, though, with the Vaseline that you could squeeze out.
Okay, yeah.
They would cut a hole in that and put, like, crumbs from the pencil crayons in there to make the color.
Oh, cool.
So it would be, like, pink. It would turn out pink or red, and they would have lip gloss. I was like, how did you guys get lip gloss? And they would just be like, oh, Canada, this is how you do it.
And what about hair bands? I think you said that you could cut the top of a sock off
to
make a hairband.
It would be the top of a sock.
So you want a hairband? You could organize a hairband.
I did use the top of a sock
for
a hairband, yes. Because they wouldn't allow just hair ties. Like, that's why I'm saying, like, the Canadian jails are completely different. They didn't allow anything over there.
Right.
So you literally, it was just survival.
And not a very pleasant survival by the sound of it. One of the most worrying things that you said to me was the lack of sunlight. How often did you see sunlight?
So for the first prison that I was at, it was 23-hour lockdown, as I mentioned. There was 1 hour, I think it was, if I remember correctly, between 7:30 and 8:30 p.m. at night. And you had either a choice to go to the gymnasium or to take a shower.
What about if I want to do both?
You can't.
What do you mean?
You're in prison.
Oh, I see.
You have no choice.
So gymnasium outdoors, perhaps?
So there was no outdoors there.
Ever.
They didn't let us outside at all. So the only out, because there was a lot of complaints, and a lot of the women would say, you know, this is not fair.
Yeah.
This is inhumane.
Which it is, because vitamin D is
a
very important part of our life.
Technically, when you go in the gym and you look up to the top of the ceiling, there's huge windows that were open. It's kind of like garage doors, but they were up high. And they would open those, and that would be our sunlight.
So did you actually physically get under some of that sunlight occasionally?
Not really. There was little patches on the gymnasium floor here and there that would show some sunlight, but I got really pale when I was inside.
That's enough for someone to write out a piece of paper saying that they get sunlight, because there was a tiny bit on the floor that sometimes you're
pretty
allowed
much
to walk through.
Pretty much.
Does it ever anger you? Because as a bystander and a friend of yours, I get angry when I hear some of your stories. I don't get angry with the concept of you being in prison, because you did something wrong.
Right.
And you've always been very reasonable about how the fact that you believe that people should pay for their crimes in some way or another.
Right.
But the way you were treated was unfair. And also, it didn't work to many of the people that you were with. You tell me that the repeat offense rate was phenomenally high.
Oh my goodness! The just the reoffending and the return rate was 85%.
85%,
pretty much. If you're
so, a girl could go out and you'd be like, "See you later, June," and she's back next week.
Well, part of my motivational pen pal program now is a huge amount of the girls that I was actually inside with.
Yeah.
So they're all back in. Even if they got out, let out when I was there, or let out after I was there, most of them are back in.
So back to that question. We know that it essentially doesn't work. We know that it's a business and that they're making enormous amounts of money from phone calls and socks. We know that you're being treated inhumanely in the United States of America in prison when you're incarcerated because you're not getting sunlight. With all that in mind, does it make you angry?
It made me angry, but it was a harsh reality of the choice that I made in my past.
Hmm.
And what could I do? I mean, I could try to fight it, put in complaints, I've signed a numerous number of petitions within the jail just from women who were, you know, talking about these inhumane conditions, and there's just nothing that's done. So I was out before anything was even discussed. Like, I didn't hear anything back.
Well, let's turn this metaphorical frown upside down and talk about some of the things that you've done since you've come out of incarceration.
Okay.
I think, if I may butter your toast a little, I think you're very inspirational, and your story, albeit hard at the time, has really changed since. What are you involved in now, and what's going on in your life?
So right now, after learning the Adobe family from you, I have continued graphic design. One of my best friends, Ainsworth Ellis, has a graphic design company, and he gave me the opportunity to work with him.
Mm.
And that's how that's the first graphic design job that I had. And I basically work with him on web design, just different designs for any sort of graphics under the rainbow.
Yeah.
And I believe that for reintegration and reentry, offenders need opportunities.
Yeah.
I do the charity, the outreach, but that's one part of it. But the huge part is opportunities and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot of prison outreach now, and a lot of these individuals don't have opportunities or acceptance. And that's I'm not saying it's a reason, but that's why they reoffend and they end up back in because there's no opportunity for them. They don't have the soft skills and whatnot that I may have and be able to talk to individuals and, you know, go through interviews and go through different things to get jobs and opportunities, but they really need opportunity. So I was blessed with the opportunity to work in graphics with my friend. And as I was working in graphics, I ended up applying to numerous different outreach positions within the city, and I got my dream job. And my dream job now is basically working with at-risk youth at in a high-priority area. I work for a media and arts program called Ground Up, and basically we teach at-risk youth graphics, things about the music industry, videography, photography. So I'm one of the three coordinators for this program.
Can you teach me to be a rapper?
I can try.
Do you want me to do a little
but
bit?
But the music department's not mine. Mine's the graphics department for the kids.
Okay. That's just I've been working on something.
Did you?
Yeah.
Can you spit something for me right now?
I can spit what you want. Her name is Joy. She's not a boy. She had a hard time because she committed a crime. She's come out the other side. She's not wide. She really is not wide. I need to really tell you that she's a very attractive woman. She's now doing stuff for others. And she's a mother. I really like her. She's been great. This interview is wonderful, my mate.
Good job.
Yeah, I think some say the accent it holds me back with the rapping.
It might, but there's rappers in Britain, I think.
Word to your mother. I think that's what they say. What I've done there, I've shown everyone listening to News Talk 1010 how cool I am. That's what I've done.
Yes, you have.
And that's a fact. So you've now become an outreach worker. You're helping at-risk youth through introducing to the media, introducing to the arts, helping them if they do want to become a rapper, helping them if they want to become a graphic designer.
Yeah.
Are you a happy person?
Absolutely.
You don't half look it.
Really?
Yeah, you really are. I've got all the time in the world for you, Joy. I think it's great what you've done. And I think
that
if there was a few more Joys in this world, it would be a better place.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
If you want to get hold of Joy, how would one do it? And for why would they do it?
Okay, so if you log on to thejoyride.com, now Joy is spelt with an E, so it's thejoyride.com. You could log on there and you would see that I have my own motivational pen pal program. And I know we don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to touch on this really quickly. I have a motivational pen pal program throughout Canada and the U.S. for inmates or at-risk individuals, period, even if they're not incarcerated, in which I can send them, specifically if the inmates are incarcerated, I could send them things to do, such as resume writing and drawings and critical thinking, problem solving, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's growing huge right now. I also do visits. Today I was at Vanier. I visited two ladies. So I do visits within Canada, but within Canada and the U.S., it's just a motivational, positive pen pal program. So if you log onto the site, you could see talents posted from the inmates, drawings, creative writing, poetry, that sort of thing. And that's why you would log on and check it out.
That's why you'd log on to thejoyride.com. www.joyride.com. Thejoyride.com. Why not visit now?
Vinny. And there's lots of other things that I do. I can't sum it up all in one conversation, but you could definitely check out the site and see everything on there.
You have been nothing but an absolute wonder to the society, to Toronto, and to the world. I know that I'm blowing sunshine up the hoo-ha, but I think it belongs there. I'm going to wrap up now. We've got to be on our way. I would love to do a little bit more. I can tell you that next week's show is going to be so packed because there's a lot of things that I wanted to get to, including talking about the best internet profile of all time. So join us next week from 9 through till 10. Joy, you're a legend.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too shabby a show it was too. More next week as we return. Until then, keep it locked on News Talk 1010. And if you ever want to download the podcast from this show, you can go to vinneywhite.co.uk. V-I-N-N-E-Y white.co.uk. Now get out.
The Vinny White Show on NDEP Radio. News Talk 1010. This is News Talk 1010 Toronto.